I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in God.
I am who I am. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
I believe in God the Father.
For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption, as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father.
I believe in God the Father Almighty.
I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless.
The Creator of heaven and earth.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.
His only Son.
He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High.
Our Lord.
And the Lord God will give him to the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.
I believe he was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.
He was born of the Virgin Mary.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them. And after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified.
He was crucified.
And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. And they crucified him.
He was dead.
Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last.
He was buried.
This man, Joseph, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid.
He descended into hell.
And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth?
On the third day, he rose again from the dead.
Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said.
He ascended into heaven.
So then the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven.
He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty.
And he sat down at the right hand of God.
Whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
They will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
I believe in one holy church.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
I believe in the communion of saints.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all who believed were together and had all things in common.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins.
He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
I believe in the resurrection of the body.
So it is the resurrection of the dead. It is buried a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is buried in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is buried in weakness. It is raised in power. It is buried a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body.
I believe in the life everlasting.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
That's what I believe. What do you believe?
Our scripture today comes from John chapter 6, beginning with verse 38. Jesus is talking to those who have been following him. He says, For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 51. He says this, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all our friends joining us today. If you're on the website, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a prayer request or a praise report. If you're with us on Facebook, say hello to other friends in the chat and let us know that you are here. And of course, you can follow along with my outline on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, I'm concluding my series titled, "I Believe," based on the Apostles' Creed, that statement of faith that developed from the earliest beginnings of the church. What a series this has been. We've said that it's important for us to know and to articulate the core foundations of our faith. The Apostles' Creed helps us do that, helps us remember the core beliefs of our Christian faith. I hope that whenever you recite the Apostles' Creed from here forward, you are reminded of the meaning and significance of each phrase. Today, we're considering another very significant phrase, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." Let's say that together. I believe in the resurrection of the body. From the earliest days, the apostles wrote and shared about the resurrection of the body. Unlike the ancient Greeks and the contemporary Hindus who see the body as merely the covering or the container of the soul, something to discard when we die so the soul can be set free, Christians believe our redemption includes the body. We believe that redemption will not be complete until the body itself is resurrected from death. Why did those earliest apostles believe in the resurrection of the body? First of all, I'd say this, because the apostles experienced Jesus' resurrection. Remember, they had been with Jesus during 3 years of His public ministry. They had seen His compassion and care for all people. They'd heard His teaching about the kingdom of God. They had come to believe that He was the long-awaited Messiah. And yet, after His triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, later that week, they tragically saw Him crucified rather than become the exalted King they had expected. It was devastating. They were shocked, stunned, but then they experienced Jesus' resurrection. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. He also appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then, as the disciples were gathered behind closed doors, Jesus appeared to them. In Luke 24, 38 and 39, Jesus asks them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." At first, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't wrap their minds around it. Luke goes on to say in 24, 41 and 43, "And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, He asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?'" Verse 42, "They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate it in their presence." The apostles experienced Jesus' bodily resurrection. write resurrection in the chat. He was resurrected. He was in his resurrected body that apparently was not limited by time or space. He just appeared to them in the room, and yet he also ate some food. No doubt there were many things about Jesus' resurrection those earliest disciples didn't fully understand, but they wrote about and they proclaimed what they had seen and heard. They couldn't help it. The apostles preached and taught about Jesus' resurrection. Imagine how overnight their lives were turned upside down. Jesus' resurrection changed everything. Their despair was replaced by joy. Their fear was replaced by courage. Their doubts were replaced by faith. They waited for the promised Holy Spirit to come and then went out boldly proclaiming Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Remember Peter and John and the crippled man at the temple? After commanding the crippled man to get up and walk in the name of Jesus, and he did, the apostles declared to the Jewish leaders in Acts 3:15, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." We are witnesses of this. They were fired up about Jesus' resurrection, and people from all over began to respond to their message, and the church began to grow. Acts 4:33 reads, "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the what? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all." Of course, as they reflected, they must have remembered that Jesus had been telling him about his resurrection all along. On several occasions in the Gospels, Jesus told them of his coming death and resurrection. In Matthew 20:18-19, Jesus said, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Jesus spoke plainly about his coming resurrection. Jesus also preached and taught about our resurrection. He had come into the world to win the victory over sin and death for us. He won our victory over sin, remember, on the cross. His shed blood provided the forgiveness of our sins and reconciliation and peace with God. Jesus won our victory over death by his resurrection. Whereas death entered the world through Adam's sin, remember the Garden of Eden story? Victory over death occurred through Jesus' resurrection. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Jesus came into the world to free us from the power of death by raising us up to eternal life. He told those following him in John 6:38-40, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Verse 40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have," what? "Eternal life. And I will," what? "Raise him up at the last day." Jesus' plan was to provide us forgiveness of sins and eternal life through our belief, our faith in him. Who he is? The Son of God. And what he has done? Provided the perfect sacrifice for our sin and salvation. Jesus told his disciples he was going to be killed and then be raised to life. He also told them his death and resurrection would be the means of their eternal life. Remember what he said to Lazarus' sister Martha in John 11, 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. He or she who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus declares that our victory over death is won through faith in him and the power of his resurrection. Originally, it must have been a lot to take in, especially before his resurrection. I imagine the disciples looking at each other and thinking, well, I'm not sure I know what he's talking about, but I'm sure it's going to be good. It turned out to be good, more than they could imagine. After experiencing Jesus' resurrection and then boldly preaching and teaching about it, those first apostles preached and taught about our resurrection. Remember, the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon them, and Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit would lead them into all truth. In writing to the church at Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 6, 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Paul was talking about the imagery we see in baptism. Going under the water represents our being united in his death. Coming up out of the water represents our being united with him in resurrection life. The Apostle Peter declared in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Peter is reminding us that we have living hope here on earth because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and an eternal inheritance that is awaiting us in heaven. This is why he can say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God truly is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul deals with questions. He addresses some who say there is no resurrection by declaring that if Jesus was raised, we will be raised also. He addresses others who wonder what kind of form our resurrection body will take. In 1 Corinthians 15, 35, he writes, but some may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? He answers with an illustration from the garden. Verse 36, how foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. In my garden at home, earlier this year, I planted little bitty radish seeds. And not many weeks later, I had these quarter-size radishes. The seed sown was nothing like the radish that grew. Paul says to the Corinthians, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Because of their experience with Jesus, the disciples preached and taught about a coming resurrection of the body for us. He was raised from death to life and had a resurrection body. On the day of our coming resurrection, we will receive our transformed, resurrected body as well. Paul described it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 53. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. Paul acknowledges this is a mystery. In some ways, we may never completely understand how God transforms us. Our best way of understanding our resurrection body is to again consider the experience of Jesus. After he rose from the dead, the disciples could still recognize him, and he bore on his body the marks of his suffering. He ate and drank with them, yet he also appeared and disappeared from their midst, suggesting that in his glorified state, he transcended time and space. Our current body gets old and wears out. Amen? A day is coming when our body will be transformed. That's wonderful news for those today who suffer from cancer, deformities, disabilities, limitations, sickness, chronic illness, and broken down body parts. A day is coming when they, you and I, will suffer and weep no more. Remember this, when Jesus saves you, he saves all of you. It's not just soul salvation we believe in, but whole salvation. The resurrection of the body is the final step in our salvation. Step one, we're saved from the penalty of sin. That happens when we trust in Christ. Step two, we're saved from the power of sin. That happens day by day through the new life given us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Step three, we are saved from the presence of sin. That will happen in the future when our bodies are raised from the dead and transformed by God's power. I realize I haven't covered everything about our topic today, but I do hope that in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and in the preaching and teaching of the earliest disciples about the resurrection of the body, you will realize that in Christ, we no longer have to fear death. Post, no longer fear. Jesus Christ is our victory. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15:54, when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the message of the earliest disciples was this: Jesus Christ has given us victory over death. Hallelujah! His life, death, and resurrection are God's grace gift to us for our victory over sin, death, and the grave. That is amazing news. Let us continue to celebrate this good news we have through our faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you for the glorious promises of the gospel. Those earliest disciples experienced Jesus' resurrection from death to life. It totally transformed their lives, and they went throughout the whole world telling the gospel story. They remembered Jesus had taught them about their own coming, resurrection, and everlasting life. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they declared that in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God has provided victory over sin, death, and the grave for all who believe. O Lord God, encourage our faith. Give us hope in the face of our own one day death. For as Jesus was raised, we too have the promise of being raised to life, eternal life with you. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen, amen. In a time of response, I invite you now to again share with me the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. I hope the message spoke to you today. Remember, Jesus Christ has given us victory over sin, death, and the grave. If you'd like to visit more about the message or how you can experience this new life with God through faith in Christ, get a hold of me. If you've contacted us today, joined us, and have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app, go to the website. You know, giving back, generosity is one of the most tangible ways to thank God for His goodness. You can use text to give, the app, you can go to the website or mail in contributions, and thank you in advance for your giving. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember, your victory over sin, death, and the grave is possible because of who Jesus is and what He has done. For now, who do you know that needs to hear the message of victory over death and life everlasting through faith in Jesus?
Do you know why milking stools only have three legs?
Why do milking stools only have three legs?
Because the cow has the udder.
Looking for a great way to see your CUMC family? Come float the park with us. What are you doing?
I'm talking about float the park.
We went over this. It's actually root beer floats in the park. We're not actually floating on anything.
Yeah, of course. I remember that. Yeah.
Join us for root beer floats and games at La Fortune Park, Sunday, September 26th from 2 to 3:30 p.m.
Phoenix Ministry is having a reunion on Saturday, September 25th from 6 to 10 p.m. Dinner will be catered by Chimmy's, and we'll have a dance following the dinner featuring the band Whiskey Bent. There will be fellowship and special speakers, Delia Pearson and Reverend P.J. Stewart. Cost is $10 per person. Please RSVP by contacting Pastor Jim.
In 1971, we launched our Early Learning Center ministry for children and their families, and we have been serving and pouring into their lives ever since. On Sunday, September 12th, we are celebrating our 50 years of ministry before and after worship in the People Place.
You can find all this information and more on our newly updated website, cumctulsa.com.